Here.
Member Davis?
Here.
Member Allen? Member Manigo?
Here.
Member Velasco? Member Aceves? Member Bibiano?
Here.
And then Member Quamalele, here. So we just went through our council, our committee members that are present, and now we will go to open forum. I do not believe we have anyone. We do have attendees. So attendees, if you would like to speak right now on open forum, please raise your hand. If you are on the phone, please press *9 to request to speak, and we will unmute you so that you are able to speak. I do not see any hands raised. So at this point, then we will move forward with our third agenda item, which is approval of the prior meeting minutes from May 5th, 2021. I do not believe we have quorum. So I do not believe we are able to take action on this item tonight. If another member comes back, then we can circle back to this item to approve it. But right now we do not have quorum, so we are not able to approve the prior meeting minutes. So we'll keep moving right along, and I will turn this over to Sandra Taylor, our director, for the director's update on strategic planning.
Good evening, everybody. So just to give you a brief overview of this meeting and where we are and how we came to be here with the Oakland Fund for Children Youth Strategic Planning process for 2022 through 2025, we're hoping this is the first time to present further discussion and input to the full commission and the public, draft strategies, the strategic directions that have been developed over the last period, which really started in sort of December for looking at how to go forward and resources we had, but really with in January with HTA as a consultant who supported the work, as well as BRG, Bright Research Group, who did a community engagement process along with this. So those two areas really have gone hand in hand. You received an overview of the community needs assessment and racial equity analysis that HTA has worked on and is really complete now, and is posted on Oakland Fund for Children and Youth, OFCY, www.ofcy.org. And that really sort of captures the data and the conditions and what's going on with children, youth, and families in Oakland. It's a compilation of information, and it really serves as a basis for looking at the strategic directions. And that will be presented in concert with strategies the draft plan, which we're not presenting tonight. In addition, BRG did a community engagement process in which they presented a summary of that to the Planning and Oversight Commission. And that really captured youth forums, older youth forums, more TAE focused, as well as family engagement in Oakland. It captured specifically provider input as well early on in March. And then in April, we were able to do more work with providers to try to get input on specific areas of real interest to start the development of strategies. The HTA process has really involved not only looking at the data, but supporting inquiry into different stakeholder input, focus groups, and helping to pull that all together with their provider forums, as I mentioned, but also just very specific areas that we needed to develop. All of this is really coming forward in a time in Oakland when, as you know, there's been a great deal of focus on reimagining public safety. So a lot of work has been done there, recommendations from youth across the city, as well as the task force more broadly inform this information. We're still in a climate of coming through the pandemic and the impact that that's had on youth and families and the entire city, as well as escalation and violence and the impact and the importance of addressing violence reduction in the city. So that comes through as well. So just to pull all that together, the strategic planning process is presented, you know, really with an eye toward looking at the overall conditions of children, youth, and families and the ecosystem and where the city is moving, demographic changes, the impact of violence, the leadership of the Department of Violence Prevention, and the funding and the budget situation that the city is going through. So all of those have an impact and bring us to where we are today with the strategic planning process. We're going to jump right into that and then run through strategies. But first, we're going to talk a little bit more about the vision, mission, and guiding principles and the work of the strategic planning subcommittee to hear about the data and also receive input on the strategies. That work included, on the committee we had, I think, Peter Lee, who's here, Kimberly Aceves, Tazian Kwamilele, and Bill Riley. Am I forgetting anybody? So they formed the subcommittee that we have worked with and met with through the months and going into the approval of the strategic plan, we're now bringing forward work that we hope to refine, develop. It's really a very high level now and still work is ongoing to flesh out the strategies themselves and to hear from you what you think about them is the next step for the commission as a whole. Everything is not said in these, you know, in the PowerPoint or in the backup document, but we try to provide both the strategies and some of the background that would be will be developed more and pulled out. So if Caitlin could move into that. HTA, which is Hatchell Tabernick and Associates, is here. Tim Tabernick is here, as well as Lori Arellino. I think I'm saying that correctly. So they're going to be listening and also drawing from your comments and the comments of the public, and we will still be working on weaving this together. To begin, I'm going to ask Tazian to just go ahead and give her comments and talk through where the subcommittee's landed with vision, mission, and guiding principles that would be incorporated in the plan.
Awesome. Okay, guys, so as you see on the screen, our revised vision and mission statement, this is something that we really worked and thought on, wanting it to be inclusive and really, I would say focused and really understanding like the robust strategy that we must take to really help and support youth, children and youth in Oakland. And Peter, I don't know if I'm missing something, so feel free to hop in at any time. But I know that was the direction that we really led in all our conversation, just understanding the social economic struggles that many youth are faced with today, regardless of, you know, ethnic background. And so the revised vision just says all children and youth in Oakland will be supported by community to thrive, leading safe, healthy, and fulfilling lives. Our revised mission statement, which you see, in my opinion, you really see like the focus where it says OFCY provides community-driven funding to heal trauma, advance equity, and elevate opportunity for Oakland's children and youth from birth to age 21. And then Caitlin, if you can kind of scroll down for our guiding principles. So here we said where our values and guiding principles, where we really want to focus on community collaboration, child and youth development, and then racial, social, and economic equity. I mean, I think that is a point of conversation regardless of what sector you work in, what organization you are a part of. Equity is a fundamental principle. And so we thought that that was really essential to this next fiscal, the next fiscal focus of OFCY over the next funding cycle. Peter, you want to say anything?
No, I think you said it all.
Awesome. So would love to hear from any other board member committee members about what they think about what we've done, any additional comments for our HTA as it relates to the mission, the vision, and the guiding principles. If I see that no one has come off mute.
I'm sorry, Tatiana, I will say one thing. I know last week I wasn't able to provide feedback. But could you, Caitlin, can you scroll back up to the vision and mission? This might be relatively minor, but I'm wondering for the vision statement, where it says all children and youth in Oakland will be supported by communities to thrive. Is there a way to change that to, you know, are supported by community just because it's a vision? I feel like, I don't know, will be just implies that, you know, we'll eventually get there, right, as a vision. But I think since this is a vision statement, like, we want to speak to it, like, in the present, like, we are there. So I would just advocate for that.
Okay, I think that's a great note that HTA should take down. I also want to open this up to the public. If they had feedback or comments that they wanted to make about the mission, the vision, and the guiding principles. If so, please raise your hand at this time and we'll call on you. I see none.
Also, sorry, Tathy, I'm gonna jump in too. Dwayne and Anthony, I don't wanna put you on the spot, but you know, I'm curious to hear if you have any thoughts that you'd like to share. I mean, just because you're both, you know, young people, that I think, you know, this is essentially for you. You know, we want to make sure that, you know, our vision and our mission, you know, accurately captures, you know, what, you know, we envision for young people. And if this aligns, you know, with, you know, the needs of Oakland children and youth. So I just wanted to, you know, open it up. If you have any thoughts or feedback you'd like to share, you know, please do so. Otherwise, no pressure.
I think that this is great. I know that that's in the agenda packet, everything that I'm saying right now, but I do want to explore it a little bit more and kind of dive deeper into the whole initiative. But just hearing y'all, you know, really talk about it is very intriguing, I'd say. But I definitely do want to kind of dive into it a little bit more on my end. I don't think I have anything to add, though. I think that you know, it's pretty spot on, for lack of better words. But yeah, thank you.
I kind of go, just kind of comparing and contrasting from where we are now to kind of where we've landed. So I definitely appreciate the racial, social, and economic equity framework as a part of the values and the guiding principles. You know, some folks know this, and I say this all the time in my trainings, there's a very big difference between equity and justice. Very big. So I just want to, you know, appreciate the distinguishing of those two things, because, you know, there for such a long time in Oakland, certain communities have been disenfranchised and not been provided opportunities, right? And that level of consistent injustice is a really important thing to kind of write in these coming years, right? So I think that sometimes we can get caught up in saying equity for equity's sake. But some stuff is not just about equity. Some stuff is literally about justice, right? Some stuff is about being fair. And I just wanna say that because we have this unprecedented amount of gun violence that folks are trying to say in our community is just because folks got access to guns and folks just had access to time, and that's why folks are just out here in the streets. That is not the reason. It is a literal public health crisis amongst our young folks that demands our full attention, and it is a cry for justice, right? So I think that having that centered at the very top of this is really important and critical to the way that we frame our work with our children and our youth in Oakland, right? Especially coming out of this pandemic, which was a public health crisis as well, right? So we have multiple and dual pandemics kind of consistently happening. And I think these values will kind of help us in the future. When I think of values and principles, I'm thinking of things that can kind of guide over multiple years and under certain and multiple conditions, right? And so I think that you all have done a really good job of at least giving us some framework that can kind of help to guide the conversations and the decisions ahead, not just here in OFCY, but also as a guiding line and a beacon to other folks, organizations and different stakeholders who do need to kind of hear, hey, equity and justice, right? Not just equity. So I just wanted to say that on record, because I think it's important, and I think it's right timing to kind of say. The only other thing that I would just kind of add is I do also appreciate the community value. And I'm not sure if just saying community alone is enough. So we might want to like ponder on that. Joyful community, or I don't know. Strong community, it's just community, and a question if that conveys the value and the principle, if they're conveying what we're really saying, which is, you know, strong children and strong city. So I would offer maybe we say strong community, right? So that's our healthy communities. I don't know, whichever. I think that's pretty. Thank you.
If there are no other comments, thank you for those comments. If there are no additional comments or feedback from members or the public, I will then turn this back over to Sandy to provide any additional insight or comments about the strategic plan.
Okay. Caitlin, if you could go to the next slide, I think both of those comments were really helpful. We go forward. We don't have a quorum, so we're not voting. So at this point, we are going to be just sort of talking through the funding areas. And this is not the PowerPoint, though. This is not the PowerPoint.
One moment while I switch between the screens.
We're going to be talking through these funding areas and strategic directions, but first we're going to talk a little bit about where they come from. So first of all, the funding areas for OCY, the big four buckets are really right out of the legislation. And we're framing them with those as we move into the PowerPoint. Keep going. we've already talked about vision, mission, and guiding principles, but the healthy development of young children, children's success in school, youth development and violence prevention, and transitions to adulthood, they are directly out of the framing, the four major goal areas or funding areas really in the legislation for Kids First, which of course, you know, was passed in 1996 and has really kind of helped, it has helped serve to present Oakland Fund for Children and Youth Strategic Investment Plan and the continuity between birth to ages 21. So this is why we always go back to what the legislation originally said would be goal areas. The legislation actually says preventing youth from being involved in gang and violence, you know, from gang involvement and preventing violence, which when we talk through the strategies, we also will be talking to you to just relate that in terms of how OCY has traditionally kind of flipped that concept to be affirmative for youth development and holistic about using those values and principles for positive child youth development. And so if you could go to the next one, Caitlin, you know, there's certain key cross-cutting themes across OCY's funding in this strategic plan, just really pulling out this, you know, a concept that has been really embedded across Oakland Fund for Children and Youth. Every single strategy is really about safe, having safe spaces for children, youth, and families, for most vulnerable children and youth and most marginalized children and youth, and across Oakland, and from an equity standpoint, the flatlands of Oakland, investing in the safe spaces and anchoring organizations that have safe spaces where children, youth, and families come together has been really key across these strategies. Social and emotional well-being and mental health is really brought out, I think, in this particular strategic plan. Particularly, it's just obviously more evident as so important, even though it was important before, it's coming, you know, comes through as something that is a concept across the various strategies and stands out particularly in some of them. Engaging families is work that OCY has tried to do through early childhood strategies and through some of the, you know, after school programming and so forth, but it's an awareness that when we think about the strategies, you know, that families, parents, and caregivers and extended family are important from a holistic standpoint across every strategy. And while that may not, you know, be specifically stated, there are ways to, you know, draw that concept out in the strategic plan. The notion of violence prevention also is discussed, you know, of course, across Oakland at this time, and with a great deal of thought given to the role of the Department of Violence Prevention and the sort of role of some Oakland Fund for Children and Youth as being in the space of much of this investment is about is at a primary level of violence prevention, in the sense that you invest in children and youth and families, and you support community. And we also are being more specific about what is violence prevention for Oakland Fund for Children and Youth, but some acknowledgement here that a lot of the work is, we talk to community members, they will say what you need to do is, you know, invest in youth and invest in after school. And of course, there's much more systemically across the city, and the conversation is much deeper than that. But an acknowledgement that Oakland Fund has a role from a primary standpoint, as opposed to intervention further down the continuum to reduce violence, which is, and to target and to support individuals most at risk of being victims of violence and communities. So the earlier end of the spectrum at the even the earliest levels supports the development of children and youth as well. And then racial and place-based equity is something that has been embedded in Oakland Fund strategic plans before, in the sense that specifically racial equity is called out. From a place-based standpoint, that's also something that gets embedded through where these funds should be prioritized. So prioritization by population and in terms of places of highest need is part of the thinking across all of the strategies. Next slide. And now we can sort of go through the strategies. I don't know if you want to stop and have any comments or thoughts about, you know, that portrayal of cross-cutting themes, but we're definitely open to that. And I'm really speaking to the commission in terms of what, if you want to stop and make any comments at this point about those, just the sort of presentation so far. And then what we're going to do is Mike Wetzel and I are going to just go through the strategy areas and the, as they are at this point drafted and framed at a pretty high level that's under development. So we'll go ahead and do that. So starting with the healthy development of young children, which really focuses on children from and their families and their parents, caregivers, families from birth to five, you know, really could be birth to eight. These are young children with particular focus. Social emotional well-being in early childhood is shifted somewhat with more of a focus on providing supports for parents and to promote healthy emotional and social development of young children. And this may include the wellness and mental health services, you know, those play and learn groups. There are developmental play groups as well, and play groups for children with special needs, parenting workshops or wellness supports, and you know, still having that openness to the classroom setting, the, you know, as a whole in terms of social emotional well-being and how it is really supported in the classroom. Other mental health programming for young children and caregivers, and really referrals to more intentional mental health programming. So this has shifted somewhat from just a classroom mental health classic consultation model to being more open to the needs of families and young children, both within the classroom setting and possibly, you know, outside of the classroom setting. So it's a little bit different than in past strategic plans as a model. Family resource centers and parent engagement, these would reach across, reach families across Oakland, and really these are the areas of Oakland, Flatland, east to west, Fruitvale, San Antonio, that to increase families' connection to support services, really support parent leadership within communities. This might include in-home home visits. It can support parenting workshops, resource navigation referrals. These are safe spaces when presented as family resource centers where families can come together, and particularly parents, and come together, and there's a network of support. This might include connecting to economic support, other culturally relevant, you know, programming that supports the array of communities in Oakland, but it is based upon sort of building out what communities see as their needs, and so it really supports parent engagement and leadership in family resource center models. And other types of parent engagement have found incredible success in Oakland through Oakland Fund for Children Youth Funding, from you know, use of the park and recreation centers for parent playgroups and supports in really, you know, neighborhoods where there aren't a lot of supports for families, and very specifically, you know, specific curriculum and other targeted funding for parent playgroup playgroups or activities for families and parents at specific higher need communities. And so that's what Family Resources Centers, and this is really continuing the work that Oakland Fund has been doing, and this helped contribute to sort of an ecosystem that's really unusual that Oakland does have to support families and young children. So it may be children who are in school and, or, you know, who are not yet in school, not yet in preschool. This is the birth to three. It can be children who are in preschool, but being attuned to the needs of families of young children, which are very different. And I'm going to ask Mike to pick up on the next area of OFCY funding.
All right. The next goal area is goal area two, children's success in school. And the first strategy I'll talk about is comprehensive school-based after school at elementary schools. Excuse me. This is a continuation of OFCY's long-standing strategy. It was developed in the early 2000s in partnership with the council and school district to try to create a network of comprehensive after school in partnership with Oakland Unified School District. Over the years, it's grown, leveraging funding from the state after school education safety grant funds to provide free after school, focusing on OUSD schools and public charter schools that have high levels of need. In the past, that's been evidenced by free reduced price meal rates, 50% or higher. That translates into $34,060 for a family of four for free meals, and $48,700, I think it is, for a family of four for reduced price meals. So this really is targeting families and providing support to approximately 4,000 elementary school students across the district every day from 3 to 6 in after school. It's the strategy is, again, it's a partnership with the school district to fund OFCY providing grants to community-based agencies so they could bring their youth development expertise and experience into coordination of the comprehensive after school in really close partnership with the school site leadership and the district teams. The second strategy is comprehensive school-based after school at middle schools. What is different from last year is to split out the middle school into its own strategy to really highlight that there is differentiation of needs for middle school students that age in 6th, 7th, 8th grade than from younger students in the K-5. But it is a similar model in partnership to coordinate with the school district to provide comprehensive academic enrichment activities at middle school sites to serve low-income students in grades 6 through 8 in partnership with the district, OFCY, and community-based organizations. In total, that strategy for middle school would be supporting approximately 1,000 to 1,500 middle school students at high-need school sites every day in enriching academic support after school in the 3 to 6 o'clock time. And I'll pass it back, I believe, for the next slide to Sandy. Yes.
Just continuing with this, you know, conversation about really funding that supports children's success in school. Here we're recommending the focus on middle school to support greater engagement, wellness, and, you know, transitions into middle school or into high school. This would be enhancing OFCY's investment in middle school. So in addition to sort of the after school focus, which is a very particular model with lead agencies, but encouraging more culturally competent programming to meet the unique needs of middle school students. And there are specific programs that have, you know, certainly have done that and are out there that, you know, might fall under this category. So here we have mentoring programs, we have sort of wraparound services, some case management potentially, more wellness focused programming, and you know, peer-to-peer mentoring. It could be adult mentoring. And so this basically supports more focus on middle school, which is a population that can, you know, be overlooked at times. You know, it's a very interesting age, and we want to ensure that there's additional focus on it and creativity and innovation to help support them, to young people to connect and engage with school and their peers. And then high school and post-secondary student success is something that OFCY has funded through specifically with specific programming like restorative justice and you know, direct funding at high schools. Here we're emphasizing differently supporting student well-being and really the concept of wellness center initiatives at schools is being discussed a lot. So this would be an opportunity to focus more so on student supports and mental health if OFCY is able to work with other public entities and leverage funding to, you know, build out more wellness centers as one-stop hubs to provide an array of services for children and youth at in high school. We're talking as well about very culturally specific programs to address Black, Indigenous, and young people of color, and to support, you know, those additional programming that can enhance access to support for students to transition to post-secondary opportunities. And so this has been part of a portfolio where targeted funding is possible and increased funding specifically for BIPOC students and academic supports are possible here specifically for students and as well wellness sort of focus. This is the one of the areas that is still really in conversation, and we're looking to develop it a little bit more in the next couple of weeks. But we do think that the overwhelming input was around social and emotional and mental health at the high school level. So it's an opportunity for OFCY to be stronger in that regard versus not having a very clear specific approach to support students at the high school level. We do look, of course, across a lot of strategies that do support high school students, including youth development. But this would be either more academically focused or more wellness center focused. And that would be driven again through sort of the youth design and youth leadership. So it has great potential and is something that requires additional work and leverage funding from other sources. And we're hoping to really develop these concepts of the why these strategies are being developed in our next iteration. And for the most part, you know, we're trying to present what is really being highlighted in terms of the funding. Mike, you are going to talk about it.
So the next goal area is the goal area 3 for youth development and violence prevention. The first strategy in it is youth leadership and development. It's to promote positive outcomes for young people by providing opportunities to recognize, utilize, and enhance youth's strengths, fostering positive relationships, including connections to caring adults, and offering enriching activities and safe spaces in community settings. It's a very broad strategy with an asset-based approach to youth, looking to engage young community-based programs to working with young people ages 5 to 21 in a broad variety of settings. There are three main areas and components in the strategy that we look to elevate and highlight in this. This is the strategy that would be where OSR would provide funding to support safe community spaces. It'll invest in community spaces and community settings, especially in high stress neighborhoods and for marginalized community groups, including but not limited to homeless students, some homeless youth, BIPOC youth, commercially sexually exploited children, LGBTQ plus youth, as well as other youth and children who face barriers and inequities. This is a strategy also where we could leverage some public assets and partnerships, including with Oakland's Park Recs and Youth Development Department, to increase access to recreational, outdoor, and other physical space activities. That's one area in it. The second area would be to really call out and elevate support for programs that provide arts, recreation, and cultural enrichment to youth. Knowing that providing a community with creative programming could develop young people's assets as well as promote community healing. Programs also support physical health, nutrition, so a broad sector in the arts, recreation, and cultural enrichment area. And then lastly, the third area would be to support and elevate programs that develop youth leadership, organizing and advocacy, and civic engagement to help youth, particularly older youth, grow in their civic engagement, community advocacy, and leadership, with focusing on core community issues, including racial, social justice, and environmental justice. So that's the youth leadership and development strategy. The second one in this area would be summer academic enrichment programs to provide diverse opportunities for enrichment, confidence building, and new experiences over the summer months to both school-based and community-based programs. And this would be, there's two distinct areas within this. There's a partnership with Oakland Unified School District to fund CBO partners, community-based organization partnerships in the summertime to provide enriching activities to young students that do summer school, that are doing academic programming. Some of the CBO partners also do provide the academics integrated as well, so that the summer activities through OUSD are grounded in the positive youth development framework and more engaging for the students. The second part of the area is to continue support for community-based programs and opportunities for youth and young people in ages 5 to 14, but not excluding older youth who could participate as well, especially in leadership positions, mentorship, and these community-based programs provide just enriching academic, enriching new experiences to young people at free costs that otherwise they cannot afford, and that other families with more economic needs are able to access to offset summer learning loss and have young people engaged and ready to learn for the start of the next school year. With that, I want to pass it back to Sandy to discuss the third strategy in this area, the violence prevention.
So this strategy is really, considered and presented in context of conversations and the presentation from the Department of Violence Prevention. It has presented and is being considered for funding, very specifically more robust funding to support an expanded violence prevention program. And here what we're saying under Oakland Fund is that OFCUI is also directing funding to explicitly address violence prevention for youth. It is, not the first time OFCUI has funded violence prevention. In fact, OFCUI has, for over many cycles been funding restorative justice, particularly as related to the schools. But we want to very specifically elevate that conversation, given the consideration of what's going on in the city and the opportunity to better coordinate with DVP so that there's a potential for if they're expanding restorative justice focus, there's a potential for coordination so that OCY could fund something in coordination with them. They are interested in restorative justice as diversion, and that would be a huge benefit to children, youth, and families in Oakland. And we want to make sure that we're in sync. Similarly, OCY could potentially pilot, you know, with DVP with very specific approaches for for younger youth who are at risk of violence or being victims or engaged in violence. And that might be a potential area to coordinate with the Department of Violence Prevention. This is, you know, based on, you know, conversations with that staff. And as we're going through a citywide budget process, it's hard to land exactly on what this means because their funding is also being reviewed. But in particular, we just want to uplift the fact that OCY can continue to fund programming that is directed toward youth. That's happening now, you know, from in middle schools in particular and high schools, which, you know, can support violence prevention education, conflict management, and peer-to-peer mentoring to address, you know, education for violence prevention. And so there is that opportunity with the broader population to support and models that have really been developed in Oakland through funding from multiple sources, but also from OCY. So given the concern and things that, you know, impact children, youth, and families directly, you know, that the information that HTA pulled and that we're aware of means that youth are being directly affected. And we want to make sure that this funding is available and for past experience set aside to support programming that supports change in culture around violence. So that would be the violence prevention funding. And this is all part of youth development as a general area and under the goal that Oakland Fund, the Kids First, stated of supporting youth and preventing, helping to prevent engagement in gang or violence. And next slide. We have a little, transitions to Dodd. Go ahead, Mike.
All right, these are the final two strategies. So we're near the finish line here. And this is for the fourth goal area, is to support youth in the transitions to adulthood. So to productive adulthood, for the legislation goal area. And this is building off of the current strategy of career awareness and employment. It splits out and elevates career access and employment for opportunity youth as its own strategy to support holistic and sustainable opportunities for employment and transitions to adulthood for older youth ages 16 to 21 who are disengaged from school and work. This is in recognition that youth who are disengaged from school and work benefit from programs that are able to recognize their needs and work with a vast different, the uniqueness of each individual as they need to get prepared for and re-engage to school and work, be it a wide variety of life coaching and skills and basic support, health, housing, financial, you name it. So it's looking to provide a strategy there that would be supporting a career programming to engage people on the pathway to employment, not looking at it's purely job placement, but recognizing that youth 16 to 21 are on a continuum, and the goal of supporting educational outcomes of high school graduation, certification, continuation into secondary, post-secondary, all dependent, of course, on the career path and the life path that's most appropriate and embraced by the young person themselves, looking for programs that have that ability to work within the community and really focus on youth with the greatest need in that strategy. The second strategy is career access and employment for youth in school. This is to ensure equitable opportunities for high school students to build job experience and skills through subsidized summer employment, as well as support youth in building pre-employment skills, experience, and knowledge connected to career pathways year round. This would be similar programming, but focus on a younger population in school youth, 14, 18, broadly with flexibility on that. But youth that are engaged in school, providing, again, just depending on the age and stage of the young person, experience into the field of work through job shadowing, internships, pre-employment training, summer jobs. This one builds on a partnership, another partnership with the Oakland Unified School District and their career pathways programming to really support programs that are aligned to the Career Academy work that the district's been undergoing for the past few years. So programs that have partnerships with the district were aligned to those type of programming industries and able to engage young people into work experiences and connection to employers that are aligned with that would be supported within the strategy. Together, OFCY has been a large supporter of career employment for youth in the city of Oakland, supporting approximately 1,500 youth a year, providing over 1,000 young people with employment opportunities, earning nearly $1.5 million. So this next strategic plan would look to continue that support, if not to elevate the support that OFCY could provide, knowing that works closely in partnership with Oakland Workforce Development Board, as well as the Department of Violence Prevention, and looking to support the need in the community for additional employment opportunities for young people. It's an area that's come up across many of the community engagement groups and forums as a strategy for transition to adulthood, as well as violence prevention. With that, I'll end talking and pass it back to the chair for a discussion. We could also go to open forum and see if public wants to speak before the oversight committee weighs in as well.
Yeah, I would. Let's open.
To the chair, I just wanted to acknowledge that Bill Riley is here.
Awesome. So when we finish this, we'll go back to approve the minutes from the last meeting. So we'll open this up right now to a public comment first to see if any of our attendees have comments on the strategies that were just discussed. If so, please raise your hand. If you're on the phone again, press *9 for us to acknowledge. So we do have two hands up. If we can, I guess, move Myra up to a panelist so that she's able to speak, that would be great.
Yes, I'm just going to give her permission to talk. So Myra, okay, all right, I see. Because you're using an older version of Zoom, I will temporarily promote you to panelist and then put you back as an attendee when we are done.
All right, hello, my name is Myra. I'm in the 11th grade. I go to Oakland High School and I'm a youth leader with EBACE. Today, I'm here to talk about the importance of OFCY funding high school wellness centers in our highest need Oakland high schools. We know that one of your main focal points is mental health, but wellness centers can offer even more than that. Wellness centers act as a one-stop shop for our youth community. Wellness centers can offer mental health support, physical support, as in physical/checkups, and dental health care. They also offer job/internship opportunities and violence prevention strategies like restorative justice. This is important because from our data we collected from our survey, many kids in Oakland stated more than anything they needed help with was finding jobs, making a resume, or adding another internship onto their resume. We believe wellness centers should be considered part of a violence prevention strategy in many ways. Job support and after-school activities keeps kids off of the streets, away from the violence. They also offer mental health support. For example, if a kid is suffering from PTSD, have experienced violence, or wants to hold restorative justice circle with their peers, they can stop at the wellness center for help. We believe wellness centers will be a great way for already existing OFCY programs to be placed at a one-stop shop on high school campuses. We would like to see OFCY fund more high school wellness centers throughout Oakland's highest need high schools. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Myra.
Let's actually then, the next person will be Jessica.
Jessica, you should be available to talk.
Hello, my name is Jessica. I am in the 12th grade for the upcoming school year, and I go to Oakland High, and I'm also a youth leader with EBC, and I am here to talk about like my experience with the Wellness Center and like also the importance of OFCY funding high school wellness centers. Well, as you know, during these couple of years, there's been a lot of impact towards like the high school kids whenever it's like dealing with like anxiety or depression. Most of it evolves around the mental health, and that unfortunately like happened to me. And I remember struggling a lot back in the 10th grade where I was just dealing with like a lot of, classwork, schoolwork, as well as many like stuff I was currently dealing with at home. But my teacher noticed that I was struggling a lot, so he recommended me to the wellness center. I went to the wellness center, and I remember being greeted by like staffs, and they told me how I was and how I was doing. And I told them, honestly, I wasn't doing so great. And after hearing what I have to say, they advised I meet with a counselor at the wellness center, you know, someone who is more professional in that area. And like, even though I was a bit wary at first, because I do have like a bad experience with counselors after meeting with like so many, like I'm still kind of iffy about who I like introduced in my life, but it's like, it's getting better anyways. I decided to give it a shot because why not? I remember getting connected with the counselor, and I was able to like talk to them, tell them how I feel. They really helped me like how to open up, even though like it did took a while, but like I was able to like recollect myself and like mentally feel better, and I was able to talk to them. And although my time was like cut short due to COVID, I am still able to like meet my counselor virtually thanks to the wellness center. And like, besides my experience and like what I've been through, I feel like other people should get to experience it. Like other students get to experience it because like they get to meet with like adults who care about your well-being. Like, you know, adults that care about the students like mentally, not like staffs or teachers. And also the Wellness Center is like a physical place right here at the school. Like, it's inside the school, but it's not like part of the school.
Jessica, and you have 20 seconds left.
And also it's just a safe place for kids. And I feel like why it's important to have wellness centers is because not only like is it like a one-stop shop here at school, but it also provides like many other things. It provides physical health services and mental health services, and also like opportunities and like programs and internships.
Thank you so much for your comments, Jessica. If there are any other attendees that would like to make comments, can you please raise your hands at this time? And I'm just realizing my video was off. My apologies. If there are no other comments from the public, then actually John Tran, you just raised your hand. Keep in mind, you guys have 2 minutes. We don't really try to hold it too much, but if you can try to stay in that 2 minute time frame so we do not have to cut you off, that would be most helpful. So John, the floor is yours.
Hi everyone, what's up Peter? I love your haircut. So my name is John Tran. I'm a staff at the Wanda Center for the last 15 years. And I want to just speak a little bit about why or how the this is how we know the Wellness Center works. The Wellness Center works due to the fact that when the program is over at 6 o'clock, our children would not want to leave because of the home situation that's there, because it is a safe place for them. The Wellness Center works because the admin at the school rely on us to deflate the situation that's popping off at the schoolhouse. The Wellness Center works because we are the liaison between the parents and the students and the staff. The Wellness Center works because it's needed. We serve 1,500 students a week out of 1,800 students. That's a pretty big number. Even if it's just a simple place that allows students to use the bathroom for 5 minutes, that stress and anxiety of being away from the hustle and bustle at the campus is worth it. I can't express my feelings and my excitement to know that there might be a possibility that a model like the Wellness Center from Oakland High can be at McClimate's, Skyline, Castlemont. And if that was the case, I can only imagine what's the possibility of the outcome of our children that we are serving. We're not trying to take people's job away. Matter of fact, we're trying to encourage nonprofit and other third-party agency to be at the schoolhouse for 8 hours a day so that the kids don't have to rely on the parents that don't have a vehicle nor transportation to go to some of these services. Everything is in-house. Everybody can get service, whether it's mental health, physical health, job development, personal development, whether it's taking the kids to go out fishing. When was the last time anybody talked about anybody going on a fishing trip? So with that being said, I really want to thank everybody for giving us the opportunity to speak on it. And I'm super excited that we can work together to promote this this idea. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John. Again, are there any other attendees that have comments? Seeing that I don't see any additional hands. Actually, I take that back. We have Kim Johnson from Bananas. The floor is yours. You have 2 minutes.
Hi, thank you. Good evening. My name is Kim Johnson. I'm the executive director of Bananas. And we are over in the Havens Court neighborhood with the Havens Court Cub House, which is a family resource center for families that have kiddos from birth to five. And I just want to express my appreciation and for the OFCY funding to do this. We've been in there for about 2.5 years now, and it's been a great opportunity and for us to connect with families there in the community, provide early learning experiences for kiddos that may not be in a formal pre-K program, to meet them where they're at, to be able to engage families in the cultural space that they want to be in. It's a very diverse community. We have families learning from one another. We have navigation services there to help families find the services that they're entitled to. Like everyone else, we had a pivot during the pandemic, but we've been able to really successfully serve families virtually. And then also on the ground with concrete supports with diaper distributions. We were there not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, and have been throughout the pandemic. So diapers, food, reading materials, things to get kids through this really challenging time. And it's really important that we continue to do that, because we know that recovery is not an on and off switch, and that our families have been harmed, and we need to make sure that we have good support services, concrete support for families, and provide them opportunities to, as I think someone just mentioned, having just really fun, joyful activities. We want to provide concrete supports, but we also want to make sure we provide fun and for families to get together and recreation together and enjoy one another. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your comments. Seeing that there aren't any additional hands from our attendees, I'm going to open it up to our committee members. If there's any additional comments or feedback that we would like to discuss for the presentation, now's the time to speak or forever hold your peace. Otherwise, we will move forward with our agenda. Seeing that there are not any hands, we cannot take action on this item.
I just want to appreciate all the hard work that went into this process. You know, I don't have much really feedback on the strategies. I think they're very comprehensive, but I just wanted to appreciate everyone. It's not easy work, and often we don't take a moment to just say thanks.
Awesome. I 100% agree. For all of the just the comments and the feedback that we've given in the strategic planning sessions and the work that HT has done to really combine this into a comprehensive strategy. I'm very well pleased of the work that we have done during the pandemic. So thank you, HTA, for that. We will move forward. Actually, I want to say we actually can take action item on, we can take action on this item now because Bill Riley is here. So at this time, we will move, we will take a motion to adopt, I believe
it's for me.
Okay, Mike, yeah. Looking
on this one to have it be an informational report on the strategies to get more of a public feedback and hearings, and then to bring a stronger developed draft to you at the next POC meeting for early July.
That works for me. I'm sorry. My agenda is like,
no problem.
It's like knocked from my screen. So it's coming up.
We need to go back to the action.
Yeah, we have to go to the minutes. Yeah, there it is. Perfect. So we actually, the first thing we need to do is go back to the approval of the prior meeting minutes from May 5th, 2021. So that was included in our agenda packet that was sent out to us. So if you guys wanna review it for another minute and then we'll look to take a vote. I mean, I'll look for a motion and then we'll go around and take votes for it.
Let me know if you want me to move the document forward. I know it's a bunch of people reading it at different paces, so.
Okay, do we have a motion to approve the prior meeting minutes?
I'll make a motion to approve the prior meeting minutes.
Thank you, Peter. Do I have a second?
A second.
Thank you, Bacalia. We'll go around and take votes. So, Member Riley?
Yes.
Awesome. Member Manigo?
Yes.
Member Lay?
Yes.
Member Davis?
Yes.
Member Bibiano?
I vote yes.
And Member Quamalele, I say yes. So those minutes have been approved unanimously. And now we will go back to agenda item number four. No, I'm sorry. Approval, agenda item number five, which was approval of the revised OFCY vision, mission, and guiding principles. And I know that yeah, so we can review them again. Thank you, Caitlin, for putting those back up on the screen. Guys, review it. And then again, I'll call for a motion in a second for us to accept the.
So before we do the motion, can we talk through the one suggestion around that community part? And Sandy, I don't know if you can give us guidance on like, I don't know if it's a we need to make a motion to change.
So I actually have comment there. So when I think about a principle, it's something that we hold ourselves to. And so I personally don't have an issue with it being community as long as the description box is thorough with what you were saying as far as like strong, healthy communities, ensuring our communities and our children and our city is strong. And so it says that there. And so I just want for me, it's like, I like that we have child and youth development. It's clear. Because if you say strong community, is that a healthy community because it's strong? So I guess my recommendation would be to keep community, but if we need to expand on what we mean by community, to kind of broaden that description. But that's just my thoughts. The board can go whatever way we choose.
I'm down with that. I was just looking to see. I don't see healthy in anything on our guiding principles. So if we can just add it into to make our children and city healthy and strong.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know.
Do you want the community part to say healthy community? The box to say healthy community or no? Just leave it as community?
We can go with the majority.
What are other folks' thoughts?
Yeah, however you want.
Oh, be quiet. Sorry, my cat is going off. I hope you guys hear her.
Yeah, I do agree with the point of, elaborating on this community guiding principle. And I think we can do that in the bullet point there and add, you know, healthy and strong to the end of that bullet point there.
Awesome. So,
and then Peter's actual suggestion on the vision statement was that will should be our supported.
So I guess, and then this is, I guess, the English major coming in, because if we're changing it to our, it's no more like, it's not future forward. So then should it be to thrive, and should we be changing the tense of like lead? So it should be lead instead of leading. And then fulfilling, to lead safe, healthy, and fulfilling lives. Or does it stay leading?
Right.
Yeah, I was thinking about that too. I feel like the hyphen after the thrive, like that's just breaking down, right? Like what we mean by thrive. So I feel like we could probably scrap that and change it to all children and youth in Oakland are supported by community to lead safe, healthy, and fulfilling lives.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that sounds much better.
Yeah. So just to be clear, so we're on the record. So for the edits or the suggestions and comments that we're now including for the vision statement, it should read all children and youth in Oakland are supported by community to lead safe, healthy, and fulfilling lives. And then following up to what member Manigo noted as it relates to community, hold on, the chat popped in phase, but it says OFCY strengthens children, youth, and families within our communities to make our children and our city healthy and strong. So wanting to ensure that we add healthy there as well. And then that also matches with what we're saying in our vision statement about leading safe, healthy, and fulfilling lives. So we're just doubling down on our commitment. So are there any other any other comments or feedback to the mission, vision, and guiding principles? If not, I'm gonna ask to call for the members. I'm gonna call for a motion to accept with the noted amendments.
So we're on the motion?
Yeah. I have
a motion
to approve with the amendments.
Thank you. Can we have a second?
I'll second the motion.
Thank you. So motion was brought forth by Member Manigo and second by Peter. We're going to call for the votes at this time. So Member Riley. Member Riley. I'm gonna come back to him. Maybe he's having some volume issues. Member Lay?
Yes.
Member Manigo?
Yes.
Member Bibiano?
Yes.
Member Davis?
Yes.
Member Kwamalele? Yes. And Member Riley, which we need to have quorum.
Or he can abstain.
Yes.
Well, he's got to answer that.
Yes. Bill?
Yes, so, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm here.
I take
a quick call. I apologize. I had to take a call real quick. I'm sorry.
So we were accepting, or we voted to approve or accept the vision, mission, and guiding principles with the noted changes. And
I saw your professor English stuff that you added. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Okay, great. So this unanimously passes. Thank you so much. Awesome sauce. So we're going to move forward, and now we're at administrative matters for general announcements and upcoming meetings. So I'm going to pass this over to our wonderful OFCY staff.
Thank you. So administrative matters, basically our next meeting would be July 7th. And at that meeting, we would, you know, wish to bring back a little bit more development on the strategies, and we will put it as an action item. And we will have more documentation relative to the strategic plan, but we would hope then we can actually get a vote. And so the draft plan can be fully developed after the July 7th. So that is the heart of the work. And we really appreciate your patience as we bring it to you. And we really would love to have a quorum on July 7th and hope that we are ready with that work.
Awesome sauce. And so, yep, that is our general announcements, our upcoming meetings. Before we adjourn, Pecolia, we were right in line, like energies were aligned. And I was hoping that as we adjourn, that we can close out with a minute of silence to recognize the lives that were lost at Lake Merritt on Saturday, Juneteenth. I think, you know, it's a significant day for African-Americans and finally this year for it to finally be recognized as a holiday. And then to have the event be shattered in a sense with like this sense of gun violence that is just kind of perpetuating through our city right now. And really, if we really look at it, really impacting the same young people that we're trying to like save and provide wraparound services for. So I would just like us to close out for a minute in their memory, and just with the conscious thought of us knowing that we must continue to do this work to really save our next generation. So, okay, start now. Okay, meeting adjourned. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tassian.
Thank you, Tassian. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Night.
A quick question, Sandy. So,
yeah.